Welcome to the Mix Talk Tower by Misha. This is Misha here this evening with you. Going to have a great show. An hour is not going to be enough time this evening with everything to discuss with this wonderful woman, Annette Martin, that's going to be on with me. We will be taking your phone calls, so I want to give out the telephone number first. It is 888-345-3025. Outside the U.S. and Canada, the number is 740-994-0101. I have my website that you can get a hold of me at for a reading. It is www.tarotbymisha.com. I'm also a live person in Keene. And you can also send me a personal email, and my address is tarotbymisha@aol.com. I am also the executive director of the Tarot Certification Board of America. If you have any questions about getting certified, you can visit the website, and it explains the seven different levels, www.tarotcertification.org. There is on my website as well, I have deck and book reviews that I have done, and I want everybody, when you're able, to keep coming back, checking the forums, because I have gotten a review. It's posted, I believe, everywhere by now. There is a great tribute deck that is going to be available next month, May the 15th. It is the Pamela Coleman Smith commemorative deck for the 100-year anniversary. She never got credit for doing the Rider-Waite. And I've done a review on that. I had the set got mailed to me so that I could review it and do a write-up, and that is posted on my web links, and it's very exciting, even if you don't do tarot or you're an art lover, just to have in your collection. And you can find the review on my website as well. I have with me tonight Annette Martin. She is internationally known. She is a psychic detective. She does, you name it, she does it all. She does readings. She has done, she does animal readings, ghost busting, medical intuitive as well, and an author. So we have a lot to discuss tonight. I want to bring her on so we can get going, and we'll take your calls if you have any questions for Annette or would like a quick reading. Annette, welcome.
Thank you, Misha. It's so nice to be on your show this evening.
It's such a pleasure to have you. Thank you for taking the time to come on tonight.
Of course, of course. Well, I would love to be able to talk to some of your listeners who maybe have questions about what I do, how it works, or it possibly if they've had something happen to them that they don't quite understand, maybe I can help them out with that as well.
Yes, yes. So the phone lines are open in case you missed it the first couple minutes of the show. I will give you the phone number again to call in, and it is 888-345-3025. And outside the U.S. and Canada, the number is 740-994-0101. Now, Annette, I always like to start at the beginning, and the beginning for you is actually a book that you have out.
Yes, child. It's on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com with 35 five-star reviews, and the title is Gift of the White Light, and it's a biography about my life so far, up to 2008, actually, 2009, written by a very, very well-known author by the name of James N. Fry. He's a murder mystery writer, and I've known him for 20 years, and he wrote the book for me.
Oh, okay.
And the Gift of the White Light has tales of ghosts and murder mysteries and adventures galore, Misha. It's just filled with all kinds of things that I have been doing ever since I was 7 years old.
Yes, I want to. I don't have it yet. I want to get my hands on it and get it.
I think you'll like it.
I would. Now, in the book, do you also explain like how you realized at that young of an age?
Yes.
What your abilities were, and knowing and understanding what they were, did it run in the family?
It does. It definitely does run in the family. In fact, I call it my double whammy. Because my grandmother, was a psychic, and she was very, very good. And for years, she was going down to a local restaurant on Friday nights with an old deck of poker cards. You'll appreciate that. And she would go down there, and she would be doing readings for people at this restaurant. Well, the family didn't know about it for years and years and years, okay? And then on the other side, on my father's side of the family, my grandmother's sister was a clairvoyant nun, and she predicted the assassination of President Carnot in France, where she lived.
Did she?
Oh, absolutely. And then she also predicted that about several months later, that the nunnery that she was living in, that the Nazis were going to be coming within a half an hour, and they would take over the nunnery, rape the nuns, murder them, and burn down the nunnery. And so when she went to Mother Superior with that information, Mother Superior looked at her and said, "Tell the nuns to be ready in 5 minutes. We're leaving." They did. And guess what? A half an hour later, the Nazis marched into the nunnery. They took it over, and then after the war was over with, they burnt it to the ground.
Wow.
She later on went on to, she left the nunnery because she was quite young, and she became a doctor. Because she was able to see inside people's bodies, just like I do.
That's what I want to discuss everything with you.
Right.
Since that led into that, that's what I wanted to discuss with you, how exactly you do your medical intuitive readings. You're able to actually see what
yes.
is going on with someone?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh. And that's what I started out being at 7 years old. I started seeing inside people's bodies. And, of course, being 7 years old, I thought everybody else could do the same thing.
Right.
Just like I thought everyone else could sing as well, because, you see, I also became an opera singer.
Did you?
So I thought everybody could see inside bodies and everybody could sing, because that's what people did in my family, you know.
Right.
And my parents were very open to all of this and never put me down. And so I was allowed to just grow and grow and develop this.
Right. And you never had to, like, push it aside.
No.
And not use it because you were being looked down on or whatever. That happens to a lot of people.
It happens to the majority of people,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
Because
yeah. I have many, many people who write to me or call me and tell me this is exactly what happened to them, that the parents said, "Oh, no, you mustn't talk like that and you mustn't say things like that." Or, you know, when the child gets feelings about something impending, some danger that's going to happen, or grandpa is going to die, or grandpa is going to get really sick, or whatever. And so the child is usually put down.
Right. But it's shoved off as, "Oh, sweetie, it was a nightmare. You had your remember," whatever. Just a nightmare, a fear, or something they heard in school, or whatever. Something from television, and it gets shoved as that.
Exactly. It gets shoved in the back. And it not only comes from the parents, it also comes from the teachers and your peer group, the children that you play with.
Right.
They kind of think you're weird, and that did happen to me. And my friends, you know, they kind of back up because I was telling them things, you know, "Well, why did you do that, or why do you think that way?" You know?
Right, right.
And they go, you know, "My gosh, how did she know that?" By the time I became about 11 years old, Misha, I said to my guide, you see, I already had a guide who's the one who spoke to me when I was 7 years old.
Oh.
And I was quite upset, and I said to him, you know, I can't be doing this because people don't like me anymore, and I don't want to be like that. And what he told me was that I had to learn to turn it on and turn it off.
Right.
And I said, oh, well, how do I do that? I don't know how to do that. How do I do that? And he said, well, think about a light switch. And I said, a light switch? Yeah. You turn it on, and then you turn it off, and the light goes off. He said, exactly. So I trained myself to turn it off and to turn it on. And I only turned it on when people asked me. So during the period of the time that between 7 and about 21, I only told people things when they asked me.
Right.
But after that time, oh my goodness, it just got really crazy. Because
the more you work with it, too, it's always on.
But that is a real key, Misha, and that is a major problem, and I've talked to a lot of therapists and a lot of psychologists about this, is that people are intuitive, and of course we come into the world being very intuitive. The child is always using their sixth sense, but it gets turned down, just like we talked about a few minutes ago. excuse me. And so one of the things that they have told me, the psychologists and various and sundry people, is that people have such a difficult time in handling it, and they don't know how to turn it off. And then sometimes they don't want to turn it off because it's very exciting, and
right.
it makes them very special.
Right.
But what happens is that it runs into their reality. It runs into the reality of living. And that's where you can run into trouble.
Right. Plus, there's a lot of misdiagnoses, I would think, especially if it's a psychiatrist or a counselor or whatever that somebody's seeing thinking they're nuts, and the person they're seeing doesn't believe in this kind of
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
You know, you're automatically not. Yeah, voices in your head, okay, take some pills and,
you're psychotic.
You know.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
You're psychotic. You know, you're seeing things, you're delusional. They, you know, can put all kinds of names to it.
Right.
What in actuality, the person could be extremely psychic.
Right.
And they could be a medium. They could be receiving information from the other side. I mean, there are various things that could be going on. And so it needs to be looked at, and that's why one of the things that I am very concerned about and wanting to help the therapeutic aspect of science is to make them very much aware that this does go on and that they need to either bring someone in who knows more about this or develop themselves so that
right.
they can understand what's happening.
Right. That's what I was going to ask you, if anybody's listening to us tonight that's wondering, oh, am I nuts? Or is the psychic thing? And, you know, maybe they're in counseling now even.
Yes.
What is your suggestion for them for knowing that they have the right person guiding them to differentiate what it actually is?
Well, that's the difficult part. And, you know, it's done on an individual basis.
Right.
And so the only thing I could say was maybe they get in touch with a real psychic, a medical intuitive, perhaps, who can actually see what's going on. It doesn't necessarily have to be me, but it can be, you know, actually there's only a handful of us who are medical intuitives.
Right. There's not many. Yeah.
There are not many. And that way we can see, you know, what is happening and what is going on with a person. And if it's their imagination or do they need this to have this in their life to make them special. I mean, there are all kinds of things going on with people.
Right. I want to give out your website to everyone. It is www.annette, A-N-N-E-T-T-E. Martin, MARTIN.com. It's posted on the forums at the Mixed Talk, as well as on my website.
And there's a hyphen in between Annette and Martin.
Yes.
They have to put that in there.
Okay, right. When you're doing a medical intuitive reading, you're actually seeing inside the person?
Yes.
Like, for instance, do an example. I have a massive cough. I know exactly, you know, why. But you're able to, like, look in the person and tell it's something that needs attention? It's just a cold, or it's from heavy cigarette smoking, or what it's from, and
or allergies.
Right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Or a post-nasal drip, or be a variety
so how,
of things.
What does it look like to you that you're able to distinguish, say, something that does need medical attention and something that's just a normal, annoying allergy or whatever? Is the coloring different in what you see?
What
markings?
I get it in various ways.
Okay.
Sometimes I will see it in words. And so it'll be like a big screen up in front of my eyes, because I'll have my eyes closed, and I'll see a big screen, and I'll see words on there. Sometimes I go inside the body to see exactly what is happening and what is going on. What happens when I go inside the body, Misha, is that everything becomes larger than life.
Okay.
And it started doing that as a child so that I would understand. And I would have to draw these things on paper for people, because I didn't know what a bladder was, or
right.
a kidney, or...
That's what I was going to say. At that age, you didn't know body parts.
I didn't know a thing. And so I'd have to draw it, you know, on a piece of paper and kind of describe. And then I also see colors.
Okay.
And so the colors then tell me the gravity of whatever it is that's going on.
Okay.
And that is very, very important.
Are you able to do that instantly? Like, if you're going to go inside somebody, do you do that instantly? Does it take some time for you to?
No, it's pretty quick, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
And is the person on the other end able to feel that you entered them? Do you get any sensation of, there she is? No.
No, they don't. And generally what I do with the medical diagnosing is I really like to have a photograph of the person.
Right.
And I do a process called psychometry.
Okay.
And psychometry is holding an object that belongs to that person. And photographs are the best, because when we take a photograph and it's put on that paper, we leave an energy there.
Right.
And so the kind of brain that I have, I'm able to pick up those energy trails, and then it's brought to me in like a movie, okay, like a video.
Okay.
And then I go inside the video, I go inside the person, and I'm seeing what is happening. And I start at the top of the head, and I go down through the whole body. So I not only pick up physical things, but I also pick up emotional things as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So for something like that, you wouldn't be able to, if you did it over the phone, say, it would have to be a prearranged thing where they send you a photo. We couldn't take a phone call tonight and say, I got this going on, could you diagnose me?
Right. No. I prefer to have the photograph to make sure that I'm seeing what I'm seeing.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what came first for you then.
That's what came first, yes. I mean, talk about being extraordinary and talk about, you know, being a little scary.
Yeah.
As a child, that was, you know, pretty unusual. But I think it came because my hypothesis is that because I have this gift between two family lines, two DNA lines here, that it was very prominent in me.
Right.
And so having my great aunt being a nun and then becoming a doctor, I think that also had a big play on it.
Yeah.
Very big play. Mm-hmm.
What came next for you then? We'll do it in the order of
Well, what
the way
came
that you got
next?
Your gifts.
Yeah, what came next was I was then from doing the medical diagnosing, then I was beginning to see what was going on with them emotionally, and then what was happening, conditions, you know, and different people that were affecting their lives.
Okay, so that led into the psychic readings then.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, I was doing readings at 7.
Right,
you know,
right.
I was telling
right,
people.
But
that.
It got more in-depth further.
More in-depth. Oh, yes. Uh-huh, more in-depth. And I didn't become a professional until 1969. I moved to Hong Kong with my husband and my two children, my two boys, and I stepped off a 747, and my guide hollered out at me, "Now is the time." And I went, "What? What are you talking about?"
Now the time for what?
Oh, my gosh. And so what happened was within 2 weeks after we arrived in Hong Kong, the phone started ringing. "Oh, Mrs. Martin, we know that you're a very world-known psychic, and we want to have a reading with you." And I'm going, "Who told them?" I mean, I lived in California.
Right.
I even found out in Hong Kong that I was doing this. And it just went on and on. And my husband was a general manager of Fairchild Corporation. And we had a very, very busy life. I was singing over there with the opera company and doing a lot of entertaining and what have you. And it was just getting crazy because the Brits were there and the Chinese people were there and there were a few Americans there and they were all calling me. And my husband said, "Annette, you have to do something about this." He said, we can't have this. They're calling day and night. I said, "I know." I said, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to just tell them that I'm going to charge, that I have to charge them. And I'm sure that that'll just stop the whole thing."
Right.
Well, the next morning, this lady calls, and she's a British woman, and she said, "Oh, Mrs. Martin, I really would like to have a reading from you." And I said, "Oh, you know, I'm just terribly sorry, but because I have such a busy life and I'm doing so many things, if I'm going to do a reading for anyone, I am going to be charging." "Oh, that's wonderful," she said.
Oh, there goes that idea. And now you're thinking, "Oh my God, now what?"
Exactly.
"Do I charge an outrageous sum to get her to hang up?"
Oh my Lord. And I just went, "Oh no, you know, what am I going to do now?" And it got worse, of course.
Right.
And they still came. Yeah, so it just sort of went from there. And when we came back from Hong Kong, we were out of the country for 5 years, and came back to California, moved into Novato, California, which is in Northern California. And I had my office set up. I had a secretary, and we were taking a yoga class. And one day we were in a yoga class, and we were lying down at the end of the class and in the meditation aspect. And I'm laying there, and all of a sudden, I saw this body, a female body, hanging over me on the floor. It's suspended, okay?
Right.
And then a street sign. And, oh, my gosh, it scared the devil out of me. And I sat straight up off the floor. And my secretary sat up, and the yoga teacher looked over, you know, and she wanted to know if I was okay. And I said, "Yes, I'm okay. I'm okay." And we laid back down again, and, of course, the body stayed there.
Right.
And we finished the meditation, and my secretary and the yoga teacher came running over to me and said, "What happened?" And of course, the yoga teacher knew I was a psychic as well. And I told them, and they both say to me, "Oh, you have to go down to the Marin Sheriff's office and tell them." I said, "What? Are you kidding me? I'm not going to go down there. They're going to think I'm crazy."
Right.
I mean, I'm already a psychic, and I know they don't like psychics.
To begin with, right.
"No, no, Annette, you have to go," they're telling me. And I'm going, "No, no, I can't go." Finally, I said, "I'll call my husband," because my husband is very, you know, practical and pragmatic. And so he says, "Well, why not? Why don't you go down there and talk to him?" I'm going, "Oh, gosh.
Well, you're going to have to come get me out of the padded cell, huh?"
inside.
They're going to, like, lock me away.
So we did. We went down there, and I walked in, and I told a fellow at the desk, I'll never forget it as long as I live. I said, well, he said, can I help you? And I said, yes, my name is Annette Martin. I'm a professional psychic, and I've seen a dead body. Oh, my gosh, his eyes got huge. And he goes, I'll be right back. He runs out of the room. And a few moments later, two detectives come out and escort my secretary and I into a room that's kind of like a no windows or anything like that, an interrogation room.
Right.
Okay. And a few minutes later, two other detectives come in. And this one swashbuckling fellow who kind of looks like a pirate in a way, but he's very dressed up, a pink jacket and pink tie, and he sits down and he introduces himself as Detective Sergeant Richard Keaton. And he says, can I help you? And I said, my name is Annette Martin. I'm a psychic detective, and you're going to think I'm crazy. And he looked me straight in the eye, and he said, no, I won't think you're crazy. Tell me what you experienced. And right then and there, I knew it would be okay.
Uh-huh.
And he said, can I turn on the tape recorder? I said, of course. Well, we taped for 5 hours.
Wow.
And I gave him information about a murder that had just occurred, that nobody knew anything about in the papers, anything.
Oh, my God.
So it was so incredible that after the 5 hours, he went out and talked to the captain. The captain said, can she come back in the evening? I want to talk to her and a couple of the other detectives. And I was pretty tired, but I said, okay, as long as I can bring my husband with me. And he said, of course. So we come back several hours later, and Misha, I walk into a room of 35 men.
Oh, my God.
There's two FBI men there, the sheriff, the district attorney, a judge, and a whole bunch of detectives. And I'm going,
wow.
Oh, my God. What have I walked myself into? This is big, serious stuff here.
Right.
And I was scared to death, you know.
I guess so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Detective Richard Keaton took my hand and he sat me down. He says, no one else is going to talk to you except me. And I felt a real camaraderie with him.
Uh-huh.
I felt very safe with him immediately.
Right.
And so we did another 4 more hours. And I went into the whole process of where this fellow had picked this girl up, where he took
her,
how he murdered her, the whole nine yards, yes.
The second time. I think I would have just got, why don't you just play them the damn tape from the first time?
Well,
save us all the grief.
Right. And I told them that they would find this perpetrator in one year, and I told them that he would kill again and try to kill again. And I told them that where they would find him, that he would be working in an institutional setting, he would be wearing white, and that it would not be in California. Well, guess what? Cool. To the year, a day later, Detective Sergeant Richard Keaton called me up, and he says to me, Annette, are you sitting down? I said, yes. He said, we have found our perpetrator, our murderer, because he tried to kill another girl, and he thought he had buried her alive, but he didn't. She got out of the grave and got to the police. And it is exactly today is 1 year later that we did our first reading with you. They arrested the suspect for murder. He was working in a convalescent home in Washington State and wearing white pants and a shirt.
How about that?
Amazing.
So then there you go. You were contacted by them all the time then?
Yes, and it just escalated from there. Because what happened then was it got out, you know, to
right.
all of the different agencies across the United States. And Detective Sergeant Richard Keaton asked me not to talk to the media. And I promised him that I would not. I would never call the media, and I would not talk about this at all.
Right.
And he said, okay. And so pretty soon what was happening were people from different agencies were calling him and saying, well, you know, Keaton, we hear about this woo-woo lady that you've got out there in California. And we've got this case, and we were wondering if she could help us out with this case.
Right.
Well, Misha, that went on for 35 years.
Uh-huh.
35 years we did it that way. I never charged a nickel. I spent hours and hours and hours and days helping all these different agencies out.
From all over.
All over.
You don't even have to, like, travel to where the killings took
sometimes.
Place. To pick, or do you do?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes I do. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get a better feel of
especially
what went
when
on.
We're looking for a body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I find bodies and I also find perpetrators.
That's what I was going to ask you, if you do both.
I do. And what happens when I'm doing a murder case is I jump right in from holding the photograph, okay, of the person, and I jump right into a video of what transpired from the time where she was or he was, and where the perpetrator comes into the scene. I pick up the conversations that went on between the two of them and where they went, what was said. I pick up on the medical aspect of the perpetrator, which has been extremely helpful to many, many different agencies across the United States, because I can see what kind of medications they're on, what kind of scars they have,
right,
if they
okay.
have any identifiable moles or scars or anything like that.
Right.
And so that has been extremely helpful.
Now, you know what I found interesting when you were telling that story was that you picked up on the perpetrator when he was going to get caught and how.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are maybe thinking, like I would think, that you come in here locate the perpetrator to find out their current location or whereabouts for the current time, for now. What,
right.
Where they took off, you know what I'm saying? Rather than a year down the line, this is when you're going to find them and how.
Yes, yeah, it was really clear that that's when they were going to find them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so I was looking into the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, would, like myself included, would think that you would get it where he's at currently, you know, where he took off and went into hiding at.
Right.
And where to locate him now rather
mm-hmm.
than down the line a year or so.
Well, actually, I didn't tell you the whole story because it's quite long.
Right,
but
okay.
I did track him.
Okay.
And I was able to track him in three different places, and they kept missing him.
Oh, okay.
Even
Now you looked into a year later. How far ahead can you get? I saw on your website where you had predicted, and I just had a brain freeze right now and can't remember who it was, that somebody would go down in a plane in the water, and it had happened 15 years later.
Yes, that was John Denver.
John Denver, okay, yes.
Yes, John Denver.
I had a brain freeze and could not remember the name for the
right.
who it was for the life of me.
Right.
So how far ahead are you able to see with your
brain? Well, you know, 15, 20 years.
Okay.
Mhm. Yeah. And when I did this reading for John Denver, I really wasn't really sure, and I didn't want to believe, you know, that something would happen to him, and
right.
I didn't know when it was going to happen.
Okay. You just.
I just saw him flying this unusual small airplane. I told him, and I saw him flying through the air. And then I saw it going down and down and going down and tumbling down into the ocean.
Right.
And the interesting part of it is John didn't make any comments. And he switched the conversation.
Did he really?
Yes, and started talking about his music. Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to hear it.
No, he did not.
He figured, you know, somebody like that does a lot of traveling and figured, oh, okay, I don't want to know anything then.
Right, right, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
You also, with the Psychic Detectives, you're going to be, they're doing a special.
Well, actually,
what it is,
it's a program that's on the Biography Channel called Psychic Investigators. And they play it now, okay?
Right.
And so I have done an hour show on a 30-year-old murder case that I worked on that was solved. The murderer was in court and in jail, and he is now out of jail.
Okay.
It's a fascinating story.
And when is that going to be aired?
Well, it's going to be airing either the end of this summer or in the fall.
Okay.
Of this year. Yeah.
It's done. It's been filmed already.
It's been filmed, yes.
Okay.
Yes, we finished it last week. Uh-huh.
You also do ghost busting.
Oh, yes, and that's the fun part.
It would be fun. You actually go to the houses if somebody thinks places.
Oh, yeah.
Haunted.
I go to houses, and we go to hotels and restaurants, and I've been doing that a long time, too, because I've been seeing ghosts, too, since I was a little girl.
Well, that's funny that you said that, because we are, real quick, because I don't want to use up our time, we still have a lot to talk about. I have, I go away every year, and we've been staying for 15 years at the same hotel. And a couple years ago, I had started spotting on the hotel across the street three faces at night on the wall. I'm not going to go into all details about it. Anyway, last summer, I had decided, because my mother couldn't see them, and she spots a lot of things. We call her regal eye. She couldn't see them. And it hit me and my mother at the same time when we're sitting out there and I'm looking at these faces. I wonder if they'd show up in a photo for her to see or if they wouldn't be there. I got out the camera. I took pictures of the hotel. Never really took pictures of us on vacation that week, but I was there taking photos of the hotel across the street. I ended up with photos that have every single possible metaphysical thing all in one photo.
Oh, my
I have God. At the hotel I was staying at a whole bunch of fairies and pixies.
Oh!
I have
really? Because I've seen those, too.
Yes. Well, the point of why I'm bringing this up, and that is the hotel that I was staying at all this time, and I took the pictures from, I'm not staying there this year. They've changed management and a whole bit, and just a mess. And guess where I'm staying?
Across the street.
Yes. I'm staying at the hotel across the street that all disappeared.
Oh, honey, that's wonderful.
So it's kind of like, oh, I wonder what's going to go on. We have a caller on the line.
All right.
We have Renee from Michigan. Renee, are you there?
Hi, Sharon. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm absolutely great.
Terrific.
I have a question for you.
Yes, go ahead.
What is going on in my life that's coming up here that's actually good? He's throwing some bad things. Okay, but you know, you can leave that out.
I can't hear her.
If there's any, what she would like a reading, what's going to be coming up in her life, bad things can be left out.
Oh,
she would rather not hear anything bad.
Okay, can I hear your voice one more time, Renee? Can you say that?
You sure can. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay. All right, so what is coming up in your life? Interestingly enough, I'm seeing boxes and I'm seeing suitcases. Are you planning on moving?
Not to my knowledge, but I would not be adverse to it.
Yeah. Have you thought about packing some things up and putting them away? Because it's kind of like I see you packing things up and putting them away because something new is coming into your life. So it's kind of like getting rid of the old stuff. Am I making sense? Okay.
Yeah, getting rid of the old stuff, making room for the new stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
And these are very nice boxes.
Okay.
These are very nice boxes. And do you have, like, an attic?
No, not really.
Well, because I see them going up.
Huh. Okay.
I see them going
That's
up.
That's not bad, I guess.
Do you have any relatives who have an attic?
No, I don't, unfortunately.
Okay, well, I don't know why I see them going up, but that's where I see them going. And so...
Okay, now...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go. I cut you off. I apologize. Go ahead.
Okay, so that's kind of what I see happening in your life, and I'm seeing some changes, and I am definitely seeing some moving about.
I'm getting, here, are you changing jobs or thinking about changing? I'm getting something career-related with you.
Great. Is it a good move, then? Because I absolutely, the job I have, it's a job, and I'm grateful for it, but... Love something better, you know?
Right. Yes. You haven't done interviews or anything yet?
No, I don't think she has.
I've had some interviews. They haven't worked out, so to speak, you know?
Right. Okay, because I'm seeing, and when Annette was saying she was seeing up with the boxes and move, from my end, I was getting career.
Okay. Now, there is a job I really, really want. It is out of state. I think I might get that one.
Maybe that's the one, honey.
Put the two readings together, Renee, and there you go.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Okay,
and you're going to have an attic.
Here's what you're
going to have an attic and a house.
All right, here we go. Now, there's a gentleman that lives in this state that I want to move to. Will that work out in the end?
That's why the lover's card was the last card pulled. relationship, huh? I pulled four cards while Annette was speaking to you and reading you, and the fourth one pulled after this career thing going on was the lover's card.
Ah, so this is a good thing then.
Yes. All good cards, all upright.
I agree. I think, Renee, it's going to be very good, and it's going to be very different for you, and that's why I'm saying that you're going to pack away a lot of things that were part of the old life, and the new life is going to be very nice.
Now, just so that, so I can get a little bit more in-depth here, just so you know, the gentleman that I'm referring to, he is part of my old life. However, said that it's like a new beginning with him.
I would definitely say so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is a new beginning with him then.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Excellent.
Okay, honey.
Thanks
good luck.
Night, guys.
Good luck to you, Renee. Thanks for listening. Have a good night. Okay. We have about 10 minutes left or so we have to move it right along. I knew an hour wouldn't be enough. I'll have to have you come back at a later date. So we were mentioning your ghost investigations, and I said about, you know, the hotel change for me, and that'll be interesting.
Well, I would love to hear about that, Misha, because I really am fascinated with fairies, because I have seen fairies in Wales.
Okay.
And they came and talked to me, and I was just stunned.
I didn't even spot them, actually, when I took the photo, because I'll send you the photos.
Please do. I would love to see
them. What happened was I took picture for the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it to somebody and to see if they'd see it, and they didn't want any background or not, just to see what they'd pick up. And she emails it back to me with things circled, and because I said, ignore the colored lights. I said, I know the hotel setting and the colored bulbs and its reflections off the car.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got, no, I'm sending this back to you, circled it. I didn't do nothing but put circles around it. And mm-hmm. I looked at the one, and I said, oh, my God, what is that? And she said, what's it look like? Well, I was thinking seagull, because it looked like a bird, a white bird, dove, seagull, flying out of the office window was the hotel I was at. And she says, yeah, okay, yeah, that one does. She said, scroll over to those little colored lights that you thought was the reflections. I said, okay. She said, now what is it? And I, are you there? I'm like, well, yeah. And I wouldn't answer her because I'm thinking, this is nuts. And she said, well, what is that? And she said, what does it look like? I said, fairies, pixies. And she started laughing at me. She said, yeah, you're right, and there's a slew of them.
My
and
Lord.
In the first picture, there was like 13 or 17 of them.
Oh.
And they're in like a V formation, like the birds in the sky when they're flying.
Yeah, yeah.
And positioned, and it looks like the front one has his head facing my camera. And then for the second photo, it's like he told them all, because now they're in the air, but they're standing up. And they're all facing the camera. And some of them are climbing on the railing around the pool like monkey bars. Some are standing on it like a high wire act.
Oh, my gosh.
And in another one, the hands up, where it looks like I'm being waved at. Anyway, on to you. It would be neat if you were in Jersey the week that I'm down there. You could check it out with me.
Yeah.
get it on the air and get it investigated.
Oh, that is just fascinating. That
oh,
is really
it is.
Incredible.
I'll have to get the photos to you because every possible thing is in the picture.
Oh, that
angel,
is wonderful.
Jesus, baby Jesus, you name it, it's in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, what are we forget? What have we left out? Quick.
Well, just maybe that where folks can go and get the book "Gift of the White Light," because they can read about all the fascinating things that I have done and all the different things that have gone on. And I actually have 9 of my police cases described in detail in the book.
Okay. All right, and they can get the book off your website as well.
They can go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
As well.
As
okay.
well, yeah.
And if you didn't catch the name of the book or any other information, I'll give you Annette's website again, and you can also go to my forums on my website and the Mixed Talk forums. Annette's website is www.Annette, A-N-N-E-T-T-E, Martin, MARTIN.com. You also have another website.
I do. And
that we didn't get to talk about.
Right. That one's for the police work. And that's www.closure, C-L-O-S-U-R-E, the number 4, the letter U, .com. And that talks all about the different cases that I've worked on and all the different things and how people can get in touch with me. But they can get in touch with me from either one, from either website.
Okay. And both of those websites are posted on mine.
Oh, absolutely.
Well. And
absolutely.
That's the Mixed Talk.
And if people want to go, Misha, and see what I look like, too, they can go onto YouTube. And I have some of the television shows that I've done, because I've done a lot of television.
Right. Okay. The one thing we didn't talk about, maybe we can for a couple minutes, you do animal readings.
Oh, yes.
Are those animals that have passed over or current animals that may be kind of problematic?
They're both. Either if the animal is ill, having some problems, misbehaving, I can look at the animal through photographs. I don't need to have the real animal. And I can see what is happening, what's going on. And also the animals who have passed on. And I can talk to them and give information to the owner.
Okay. Now, I got a quick question for you as well, since some people may think, you know, psychic detective and things like that, that you're not a medium, per se, where when you're doing a reading, some past relatives would come in. They might, but that's not really
actually,
what you do.
I am.
Okay, you do.
Yeah, I am. And I sort of lump it all together, you know, because I said to my guide at 7 years old, while things started moving along, I said, you know, if I have to do this, I have to do everything. Whatever
right.
everything is, I have to do everything.
Right.
And so that's what happened. You know, I started doing everything. And
now, do you see the dead? Do you see them, or do they flash?
Yeah.
I had somebody on last week, and what he said is he gets images of things shown to him, not the actual, you know, not actual
them.
Physical description.
Mm-hmm. No, I see them, and I talk to them, and it's very similar with the ghosts, because it's like when a ghost sees me, who is one who is stuck here on the earth, you know, it's like, oh, she can see me. She can hear me. And so
right.
they come right over to me and start talking to me. And so
now that's the joke we were making about the faces on the wall, because the first year I spotted them, they looked kind of miserable and horror-looking.
Yeah.
And then the next year, you know, it was, okay, let's, you know, that's the first thing I did the first night when it was dark, looked for them. And then
right.
I was, are they there?
Right.
I'm like, yeah, and they're smiling real big, and I see their teeth, and she just... Oh, they're happy somebody's back that can see them.
Exactly, exactly. Now, what you need to do when you go on this trip, Nisha, is you need to talk to them.
Okay.
And you need to tell them that you know what you do, and that if they want to talk to you, that you're there for them.
Okay.
So that they can talk to you.
Because once all this other stuff is pointed out, the faces on the wall were the least of the things.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman on... the one landing of the steps,
mm-hmm.
you could see the entire Victorian gown.
Yeah.
That it was a bright, like a red color.
Wow.
There was in the office window underneath the wall that I was taking photos of the shadowed faces, I'll call them, because that's what it was in the lights. You could see faces.
Mm-hmm.
In the office window looking out, one was looked like a kid might be crouched down, just the head, like
mm-hmm.
peeking out from the floor up.
Mm-hmm.
Another one from the bottom corner, and then another one just standing there.
Wow.
There was what I thought looked like a lingerie top. The hotel has a pool. My mother said maybe, you know, because she saw it too. Looked like it was hanging on the outside doorknob of,
you know,
one of them.
It's so interesting to have so many ghosts in one place. Now,
yes.
The only time that I've experienced that is on the USS Hornet, which
okay.
is a big carrier, aircraft
yes.
carrier in California out here. And I personally have seen and spoken to 26 ghosts on that ship.
Okay.
Okay.
See, I don't normally do the ghost thing. That's why I was shocked. I'm thinking, you know, okay, you know, you take photos, you get some orbs or whatever. But
yeah, right.
but a multiple thing of every possible thing was like, wait a minute, this is like really freaky.
Yeah.
Everything in one, you know, it's not just like multiple orbs or a bunch of the fairies. This was, you name
right.
it was in it.
Okay, what I want you to do when you go there is get yourself one of those small little tape recorders,
okay.
you know, one of those Olympuses.
Okay.
And put it in your pocket and just carry it around with you and turn it on. And when you see something and you feel you're going to get communication, turn it on. Okay?
Okay.
And then speak out loud to them and tell them your name, ask them their name, and ask them why they're there, what happened to them, and speak very lovingly to them. Okay?
Right.
Don't holler at them. A lot of these people going out who are working with ghosts, you know, start hollering and screaming at the ghosts. And,
right.
Oh, my God. I mean, would you do that to a human being, you know?
Exactly.
Who's alive? This is a consciousness that is stuck here.
Right.
And so what you want to do is you want to find out what's happening with them and why they're there, what happened to them.
Okay. I'll discuss that with you later, because we have to call it a night, unfortunately.
Oh, darn.
And we'll get together with an upcoming show when you can come back on. Darn it, I knew the hour wouldn't be enough. I want to thank all the listeners tonight for tuning in. This is Misha here at themixtalk.com, Tarot by Misha. Everyone have a week full of blessings. Till next week, night-night.